Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patswold. Last year, and continuing this year, we have an opportunity to talk to representatives from, what was once known as the Sunrise Health Region, now Saskatchewan Health Authority, about a variety of different health-related topics. And for today, we are focusing on mental health. Lene Schindel and Jackie Murphy are both social workers. Lene is also clinical lead and Jackie a manager with Saskatchewan Health Authority, both, I believe, out of Yorkton, correct? It's great to have both of you here. Thanks so much. How are you today?
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Great. Well, like I said, mental health, very important topic, and I know it's been getting more and more talked about because of different campaigns, which have been excellent. Things like Bell Let's Talk Day, I know, has been one of the amazing things done nationally. And a lot of it comes down to getting the word out as to what's available for people and how it relates to themselves on a day-to-day life and how the healthcare system can help provide help and support for people when it comes to mental health. So we're going to dive into a couple of different areas. And something that's done in this region is the Friends Program. So, Lene, I'm going to ask you to talk about the Friends Program. So simple question, first of all, is just simply, what is it?
What is it? So basically, the Friends Program is mental health curriculum. So it's really exciting that we're seeing this curriculum being delivered in our schools to our children and youth, really building their capacity. The program is evidence-based. It's to build resiliency, self-esteem, and coping skills. It's a really fun program. It's interactive. Kids really seem to enjoy it. And it's delivered to age groups in a developmentally appropriate way. Mm-hmm. So it breaks down into different groups. So our Fun Friends program is age 4 to 7. The Friends for Life is age 8 to 11.
Okay.
My Friends Youth is 12 to 15. And then we have the Adult Resilience Program, which is 16 and up. So though the content remains the same, the way you talk about something with a 5-year-old is different than a 16-year-old, right? So the content remains the same, but it's delivered in ways that are going to engage that particular age group. It's also really about developing social and emotional skills, learning to regulate, how to deal with stressful situations. It's also endorsed by the World Health Organization as a preventative and a treatment of anxiety and depression. So it's really very exciting. It's delivered in throughout the school year. It's 10 sessions delivered out throughout the school year. And also then the language and using those skills is promoted throughout the school, you know, also throughout the whole entire year and through the whole school.
Wonderful. Now, what stage are we at in terms of getting this to the students of Saskatchewan or just even this area? Is it in a trial phase right now? Is it fully implemented? Where are we at in that regard?
Good question. And this is something I feel really proud about our community and our team that's bringing Friends in. Mm-hmm. We did our first pilot last spring, but starting this first school year in September, we really rolled it out in a majority of the schools with both the Good Spirit School Division and the Catholic School Division. So it's pretty much being in all schools, very close to all schools, and targeting certain grades. So schools are able to identify what grades, but really, generally, I would say most schools are doing grade 1, 4, 6, and then either 8 or 9, depending. So the idea is that you will get more than one dose, right? So you'll get it in grade 4, and then you'll get the different program again in grade 6, and then maybe again, right? So the more doses, the better. So we are on our first phase, right? So the idea, we'll have these grades and then they'll get in a few years down the road, right?
Yeah.
So there are some short-term effects that we're seeing, but there'll also be some long-term as well as the years and as skills are developed in our youth and children.
Now, if parents are interested in maybe talking with their kids about this program, is it a certain subject that they're learning this in? Is it just something that the teacher comes along and throws in there somewhere throughout the year? Is there a certain unit or something like that or class that this is being taught in?
Yeah, you know what? It's being taught in correlation with the health curriculum,
Okay. Which
makes sense, right? We know mental health and physical health are very closely related, and we haven't been as good about spending that time on the mental health. So we learn a lot of great things in school, right? But focusing a little bit more on some life skills that they can use and develop, you know, as we send them off into adulthood. We're trying to get parents more involved as well. So each child that is being delivered the program, it's done in a classroom with time set aside to do it, will get an online workbook. So parents and children can sit down and go through that workbook in the evenings on their own and have discussions. There's also home activities that we encourage parents to do and talk about with their children. Our new initiative coming up this spring in the next few months is looking at running an adult resilience programs for parents themselves that are interested. So not only are they going to learn really what the program is about, they're going to be able to better self-regulate and manage themselves and then role model some of these skills.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece is we're also looking at there's parenting sessions that are also provided along with the program. And so one session would be before their child is taking the Friends program, and then one is midway through. So really providing a lot of information on, you know, what's normal developmentally, when do we need to be concerned, attachment, you know, resiliency, how to build healthy families. So a lot of great information for parents to also support their children and also build their capacity to do that as well.
I got some more questions about parents in just a moment, but just back to the program in general. Again, with some of the results that we're seeing, it's obviously very encouraging to hear, and that's why I guess it's so important that it's being taught and shared and why it's having such great success. Any other reasons of why this is such an important program and to have time set aside in the classroom to teach this?
Yeah, and I think really what we're seeing is, as you touched on earlier when we started, that we know mental health concerns are on the rise, right? The students are telling us from their own mouths that that's happening. We hear it from the schools, the teachers. We're hearing it from parents. So we're trying to take a proactive approach, right? Not waiting until there's a problem, but preventing it from happening in the first place. So we know with most things, the sooner you can get in, that early intervention, that preventative work really goes a long way. And we talked about yesterday, we're excited to see in the years down the road how this may really impact, you know, the our youth and how they're able to deal with things and develop skills to be really preventative.
Mm-hmm. And I know the word anti-bullying gets thrown around, and it's interesting when I hear that one, because it's a word that sometimes for me just makes me in a way cringe, just because you still throw in that word bullying, even though you have anti-bullying out in front of it. Using a word just friends from the get-go, focusing on positive relationships and how, you can have incredible disagreements with someone, but it doesn't necessarily have to stop that person from being your friend. It doesn't give you an excuse, oh, they're different from me, so I can treat them differently. Everyone deserves to be treated as a friend, whether or not you have common interests or anything along those lines.
Yeah, the program, you know, we've heard from teachers firsthand, some of the feedback has been that it's taking longer than they expected to deliver because the kids are talking. They are talking about it. They're sharing stories. They're getting connected. And the program really promotes that empathy. So being more self-aware of ourselves and our feelings, but also those around them, right? Mm-hmm. How is what I'm doing impacting, you know, my peers and my classmates? So it really does have a big focus on positive relationships, both with peers and with adults in their lives.
So any other topics you want to get out there to let people know that these are being talked about in the classroom?
Well, I think I'll just explain a little bit more in terms of FRIENDS. It's an acronym that's used to describe some of the different skills. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the F in FRIENDS stands for feelings. So there's lots about being more aware of our feelings, how to healthily express those feelings, paying more attention to our bodies. So looking at those body clues, what is our body telling us? If we're recognizing we're not feeling okay or something's not right, knowing where to go and what to do. So building self-regulation skills, learning how to relax. Being more mindful and being present in the moment. There's a lot on positive thinking, right? Coping skills, problem solving. There's also a section on some values and role models. So who do I look up to and what do they have that I want to be like as well, right? Thinking more about what are my values? What do I stand for? What do I believe in? What's going to make me a good person? How do I be my best self, right? So it really promotes the happiness and just having our youth be happier and healthier. Like I said, the empathy as well. And I think lastly, the being brave. And so that's really about the anxiety, right? So we don't really talk about it in terms of anxiety, but we talk about it in being brave, building confidence, building capacity in our youth.
Excellent. You're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. Today, joining us, Lene Schindel, social worker and clinical lead, and Jackie Murphy, social worker and manager with the Saskatchewan Health Authority. Our topic today is mental health, and just recently talking about the Friends program that is being instituted throughout the Good Spirit and Christ the Teacher Catholic school system. Now, again, with parents being involved, I think that's so important, too. So often that something tragically happens. A parent, you hear it all the time. I wish I had done more. I wish I had seen the signs. I guess that's the parent's role, is being able to learn these things in hopes that they can avoid what could potentially be something drastic happening in their own household, is picking up on those signs. Is that part of what the parent involvement is all about?
Absolutely. Like I said, building the capacity in themselves, right? And I think when we know better, we do better. And when we don't know what to do, it's hard to make progress and make change and make improvement. So we also want to provide parents with that support piece, right, that goes alongside their children learning these skills. What can I do, right? And it starts with themselves and learning their own regulation and how to better manage, but also knowing, like you said, what to look for. So worrying is normal, right? But how do I know when it's become excessive and become a concern and something I need to do about, right? So Knowing what to look for earlier, so they can also intervene earlier and provide support sooner.
Yeah. Well, I think what also I know as a parent myself now, what sometimes brings comfort for me is just talking to other parents, in a large part too. My kid isn't that. Well, I have a toddler, so I just want to frame that around this reference. Oh, they're just a toddler. They're not a terrible toddler. They're just a toddler. You get that perspective of what's normal, what isn't, when you start to engage in those conversations with other parents. And if you don't have those resorts, there are other places people can turn to as well. And perhaps it can be in this forum through Saskatchewan Health or things like that, or something like this too.
Absolutely. It's starting the conversations at home. It's letting parents know what's available. You can check out the website at friendsresilience.org. It has great information to learn more about the program. Connect with your schools. Ask the school counselors. Ask your teachers, is this program in the school? And we're working on offering more of the parenting piece, because that is so, so important. And we're going to see the best results when we have the kids having the skills as well as parents.
Excellent. Again, you're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know, more on our topic of mental health on the program after this. We're back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know. We're chatting about mental health today with the Saskatchewan Health Authority. What is out there for people? We're going to turn our topic of conversation to what it's like in primary health care. And Jackie Murphy, social worker and manager, tell us a little bit about how mental health kind of correlates and how it looks just in our regular healthcare system.
Well, mental health and addiction services is part of services provided through Saskatchewan Healthcare. Mm-hmm. Referrals into our mental health addiction services can come from primary care providers such as physicians, nurse practitioners, as well people themselves can call in and request services to meet with someone from mental health or to meet with someone regarding alcohol and drug use.
Now, thanks to things like, I'm going to blame media, TV, shows, movies, there's the perception that mental health means psychologist. And then they make that connection of psychologist to hundreds of dollars an hour. And that's something that's not there's that, I guess, media perception that's been put out there. But I would just want you to help, correct that stereotype. Just because someone needs mental health support, no, it doesn't mean you're going straight to the psychologist and this is going to bankrupt you. So you shouldn't reach out and try and get help.
Right. I think it's important to note that mental health and addiction services are provided through Saskatchewan Healthcare. Mm-hmm. So first of all, there's no charge to receive services. We provide services through a multidisciplinary team framework. So in that, we have professionals that provide services from a number of different disciplines, including psychology. We do have one psychologist on staff with us. So depending on what your needs are when you call for services, we match you with a clinician that has the knowledge and the skill set to provide the services for you.
I don't want to knock psychologists or anything like that, but I think that's often what prevents people from going and getting the help they need. They think in this regard, it's not like, say, a physical ailment like a broken arm, an illness. No, it is treated the same.
Right, right. So we have psychiatrists, we have a psychologist, we have social workers, nurses, mental health therapists, we have addictions counselors, we have an occupational therapist with us. So we do have a variety of different professions that work with us. Sometimes a person may need to see a psychologist if there's some particular testing that's required to help them with their needs. But certainly we provide support to folks depending on their needs and what type of services we can offer for them.
And just in general, just its importance, I suppose it's just as simple as we're losing people because of their battles with mental health. When we lose people through illness, we want to help them or we want to help other people in future cases. That's why this is so important for this to be addressed and talked about. We're losing people. So like anything that we end up losing a lot of people over, we need to step up and be that help for people so we stop losing them in this fashion.
Yeah. And so I think that ties into primary health care. In our area here, we have six primary health care sites. And what we're doing is integrating mental health services into those sites. We know that most folks who struggle with depression, anxiety, substance misuse, the first person that they will talk to generally is their physician or their nurse practitioner.
Okay.
What can we do then to support primary health care providers to be able to provide services to folks with mental health, alcohol and drug use issues at primary health so that they can go to that clinic, they can receive all the services they need there. In the last couple of years, we've hired a primary health care counselor, and her mandate within the primary health care sites is to, in part, build better capacity for primary health care providers, physicians, nurse practitioners, to be able to provide that support to people with concerns. And then secondarily, she provides some of the services as well if folks have concerns with depression, anxiety, substance misuse, and it's a moderate type of severity, if you want to call that. She can provide services through some brief therapy, through some groups. We also now have a fairly extensive list of online resources for folks to access. In the event that their symptoms are more severe, then we have a care pathway where folks will be referred over to us to provide more of that specialized mental health and addiction services.
And also important for people to just know, and from what you've just been talking about, this really is as similar as someone going to their family physician for anything that ails them in terms of, like I alluded to before, a really bad bout of a cough, a really bad flu, something along those lines. If someone is having those mental worries and anxieties, they can take that first step just as they normally would for any other ailment. It could be a walk-in clinic. It can be their family doctor. It doesn't matter.
Yes. And so when the family doctor or the nurse practitioner meets with that person, they have a couple of tools that they can use that the client will fill out. And it kind of gives you an indication of what type of problems they're having and to what extent those problems are affecting them, the severity. Mm-hmm. Right in the doctor's office, right in the nurse practitioner's office, if the symptoms are fairly mild, they can be referred to online resources. And so the physician, the nurse practitioner is able to actually pull up a list right on the electronic file in the office. And the client can sit there and say, you know what, I'd like to look into this resource. I'd like to look into that resource. Mm-hmm. And right in the doctor's office or the nurse practitioner's office, they can very quickly be linked to resources to help with their mental health.
Yeah, and in terms of treatment too, that can also very much like going to the doctor for something. A medication might not be the answer. It might be something else. It might be following up in a couple of days. It might be something else. There's lots of different outcomes, much like dealing with anything else someone might suffer from.
Absolutely. And I think that's where we've really done a good job in our area of building a larger menu of service for clients. So depending on what their concerns are and the severity, it may look like some online resources. It may look like accessing self-help groups in the community. It may look like coming to one of our education programs that helps people better understand depression, anxiety, stress, and coping. It may look like a referral into mental health services to meet with a clinician, mm-hmm. to maybe attend one of our treatment groups. So we've really, I think, broadened the resources and opportunity for people in the community,
sure.
depending on what's happening for them and what level of service they need. I think we've done a really good job of expanding some of our services, and where primary health can now take over a bit more of the role of supporting people with mild to moderate mental health issues, mental health services specifically can then have more capacity to treat those that are becoming more seriously ill, have more severe illness and need a higher level of care and intervention.
And also, I know I referenced this a bit beforehand about the whole concept of letting people know that you are not alone when going through mental health struggles. That does bring a comfort too, but also when someone is not alone and suffering from anything else, I'll use the flu and cough reference again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can use that as a comfort that there are other people out there with flus and coughs, but at the same time though, you still might have to take that step further in getting a checkup, getting looked after, because it could be something that is more serious. So while the feeling of you're not alone is a comfort, it's very possible you need more help, and the step to the doctor can be in the right direction.
Absolutely. The first place, if people feel they're struggling with anxiety, depression, can certainly be to talk to their physician or their nurse practitioner. I think when people start to talk about these concerns and struggles they're having, they do get that feedback and that support to realize that, in fact, they're not alone. We do have one particular program that we run over at the Mental Health Center. It's a group service that we provide. We also provide a similar service individually to people in our offices, but we have found when we've looked at outcome scores for clients and how well they improve in service, mm-hmm. actually some of the groups that clients are coming to, clients are showing better improvement, stronger improvement, more improvement by coming to the group programs than they are at times coming to the individual service for that same problem.
Okay.
So again, I think that really speaks to what's the difference. The difference is you're in a room with other people that have similar struggles and concerns and who can start to support each other. Very much, I think, akin to what Lene was talking to earlier about with the Friends program.
Well, it's good to get a grasp of what is going on in the region and also what supports there are for people in the event they need to reach out and get the help they need, like physical health. Mental health is just as important.
Absolutely. Mental health is very important. And to the extent that people might be affected by depression, anxiety, there can be an underlying illness associated with that. So people are always welcome to contact mental health and addiction services in this area. But you're also very much encouraged to talk to your family physician, your nurse practitioner, your primary health care provider, who can then certainly do some assessment and link you to the proper resources depending on what's happening for you.
Excellent. Jackie Murphy and Lene Schindel have been our guests today on All You Ever Wanted to Know. Was there anything else you want to mention before we wrap things up for today?
We really appreciate the opportunity to come and meet with you and be able to talk about and promote the services and the new programs that we're running in the area. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks again. All the best. It's been All You Ever Wanted to Know. We'll be back next month with more talks with the Saskatchewan Health Authority representatives about all the services that are offered in our province. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.